This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's going to be a short broadcast today. A short recording, I should say, a short drive home. I'm actually at Blockbuster's picking up a movie. I had to go pick some stuff up. I'll talk about that in a minute. I'm late for my thing with my daughter tonight with Knit Central. So I need to just start this here. So this is only going to be 15 minutes or so. Apologies for that in advance. No, I'm sure everyone is crying about that. what I had to pick up. What episode is this? 88, 89, 88, I think. 89? I don't know. Anyways, I'll number it. I had to pick up 100 pieces of plastic. So I do have plastic in my car. Unfortunately, I didn't have mirrors with me, so I wasn't able to check. And I've been examining them at stoplights as I'm going home going, well, there's a little bit of flashing in there. I wonder if that's going to work. I wonder if that's going to work. I wonder if that's going to work. So I will check as soon as I get home and see how we're doing. But we're close. We're still kind of just working a little bit with a few anomalies on the mold. But at this point, the injection molder guy thinks that he can mass produce enough to get me, you know, what I'm looking for in the first run. So we're going to try it. And then if they don't sell at all... If they just don't sell it all, then we won't ever have to worry about this again, at least not for a long time. And if they do, then maybe we go back and fix some things on the mold. Anyway, so that's very exciting. My uncertainty at this point comes down to the fact that there appears to be a little flashing where there was more flashing before and it would actually stop the mirrors from going in. There's a little bit of flashing there, and I don't know, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. We will see how it works out. Because we're supposedly going to start producing these Monday morning, and you know, if there's enough flashing in there that it's going to stop the mirrors from going in, then we will be delayed again. So who can say? We will see when I get home. Anyways, this week, I still have a couple of little topics in queue. I actually haven't read any more on the book on creativity. I've just been focused on some other things. I haven't had a chance to really get into that. There was a Nova special on dogs that had some really interesting stuff in it. I'm not really prepared to do any of those, and I'm thinking I'm just gonna talk about a little conversation that I had with a buddy this week. Because out of that conversation, we swung over into a tactic of the flesh that I think it's important to recognize and realize, and then when we applied it to his particular situation, I think it helped. But in the conversation, he was having some reactions to some of the things that were going on in his life, and so we had to kind of chance to talk about those things. And one of the things that we stumbled into as we were chatting was the whole concept of alignments and realignments. If you hear things kind of clanking around, that's the plastic. It's in a couple of boxes. I got one box in my front seat and one box in my back seat. And so every once in a while, if I turn a corner too fast, you're going to hear some plastic go ka-thunk in the back. This concept of the fact that the flesh is very, very sneaky, and that it will choose strategic moments to push its advantage and then to pull back. And we've talked in the past about the cake versus fruit research that is done when people are asked to remember numbers. Fascinating study about how they put a bunch of people in the room. They give them a folded piece of paper that has numbers on it. They say, memorize these numbers, and then walk down the hall and tell the person at the end of the hall what the numbers are. As they're walking down the hall, someone pops out with a tray. It has a chocolate piece of cake on it. It has a bowl of fruit on it. And they ask the people, thank you. They tell the people, thank you so much for participating today. As a little thank you, we would offer you some chocolate cake or some fruit. Which one would you like? What they don't tell the people is some of the people have seven numbers on the slip of paper. Some of them have two. And what's fascinating about the study is disproportionately the people who have seven numbers on their piece of paper choose the chocolate cake, and the people who have two numbers on their piece of paper choose the fruit. The conclusion that they arrived at, the people who were doing the study, is that if you tie up the reasoning centers of the brain, those centers which have the capacity to make good choices, if you tie those up, it's going to be much easier for the, they call it the reptile brain or the primitive brain, to then get what it wants. And so while you're sitting there going, I got to remember these numbers, I got to remember this, what's happening underneath is your reptile brain, or your flesh, as I would call it, is saying, want cake, I want cake, want cake, you know. And it knows it has more chance of getting through because you're distracted thinking about some other things. We call that a de-alignment or a misalignment of the flesh and the spirit, because sometimes the flesh, many times, oftentimes, will align itself exactly opposite to what your spirit knows is the best way to go. And it's just a tug of war. And it is true that the tug of war becomes more difficult in stressful situations. I was telling my buddy that ever since I went on vacation with my wife, and you know, you're on vacation, sometimes you just kind of relax a little bit and you eat a lot of stuff that you don't normally eat. I mean, I was 10 pounds up when I got back from vacation. Now, I knew some of that was water weight, and so some of it came off pretty well, but I'm still 5-ish pounds up over where I like to be, and some of it's due to the fact that I've been wandering by and getting a handful of chips here and there as I wander through the kitchen. Even though I don't need the chips, I've just been wandering by and getting a handful of chips. Some of that is I can attribute to the fact that I've been preoccupied with the project, this Vainwork Stand project, because I've been thinking about it and occupied with it. And it would be easy for me to say, see, that's the reason. Once I get farther in this project, then I won't be eating so much. But at the base of it, it's not really the Vainwork Stand project that's causing it. What's happening in that case is the flesh is aligning itself against my spirit. So it's de-aligning. And it's swinging out to the side, causing all sorts of confusion and doubts, and saying, oh, what if it doesn't this? Oh, what if that happens? Oh, then you're not going to be, oh, there's you. And then once it can tangle up my conscious brain, my reasonable brain, with all those permutations and all those situations, then it turns around and goes, want cake? Except in this case, it's want chips, you know? On chips. But at the end of the day, it's not really the Vainwork Stand project that's the problem. It's the flesh that's the problem. And the solution is the same solution that it always is with the flesh. And that is, I have a free will and I don't have to listen to that stuff. No one is forcing me to grab a handful of chips. So that's de-alignment. But there is also another fascinating tactic that I have found that the flesh does, and that is alignment. Temporary, albeit, but nonetheless, alignment. I had a buddy who had been divorced for many, many, many years, and just about the time that he started getting serious about someone else in terms of a spouse, they hadn't gotten married or anything like that yet, but he was getting serious about it. Just about that time, suddenly, his former wife got religion. And she all of a sudden started going to church. And she started, you know, reading her Bible and counseling with a minister. What can I do to help my life? And this kind of stuff. And, you know, when my buddy's talking with her, she just sounds so sincere. So incredibly sincere. And my buddy was talking to me about this, and I said, well, yeah. I said, what's happened here is her flesh, which normally manifests itself in someone who is very acidic in tongue and complaining and hateful and spiteful and all those things. It sees that there's the potential that suddenly you're not going to be as available to torment anymore. And it sees the potential that you're slipping away from her grasp. And so what it does is it drops back and it gets quiet. And now all of a sudden, instead of it always pushing and manifesting, there's sort of a vacuum there. And actually, I guess this wouldn't be the alignment section. This would be the no align, nothing section. This is where it gets quiet. This is a kind of a second tactic, I guess. Well, really, we'll talk about third tactics. We'll talk about alignment, silence, and de-alignment. And so it kind of drops back and gets really quiet. Well, once it gets really quiet, then the spirit has a chance to talk, and it's like, you know, you should really go to church, and you should, because you know there's a lot of things in your life. And so all of a sudden the person starts responding like, oh yeah, I really need to do that, I need to do that. And so they go and do that. But I said, what's going to happen here is if you stop dating this other woman, if that cools down and then you are safe again in terms of tormentability, what's going to happen is that flesh is going to come roaring back because it's going to recognize that now it has you again. So it's willing to go quiet for a while. It's willing to go subversive for a while to let the spirit in that person have a larger say and a louder voice, but as soon as it feels like it has the tactical advantage, then it's coming right back. The other thing that the flesh does is it can make someone sound extremely sincere about things. And it does that by aligning. So what the spirit knows is a good thing to do, sometimes the flesh will drop behind that and go, oh yeah, oh, absolutely, this is what you should do. It usually, when it does that, it's surrounding something that it can use to take and use as a club later. So for instance, I've seen this happen when people are considering exercise equipment, for instance. So you're in the store, and you're getting ready to look at some exercise equipment. And your spirit's saying, you know, this would be a great thing. You know, if you had some exercise equipment, you could exercise. And what the flesh will do is it will drop back, and it will go, oh, yeah, you need this equipment. Definitely, if you just had this equipment, how great would that be? and it lines up directly behind something that is good and true. Yes, you could exercise. It would be terrific. Yeah, absolutely you should do this. And then it waits till you write the check. I'm getting my mail. One piece of mail. And then it waits for you to write the check. And as soon as you write the check and you get the equipment home, guess what? Then it pulls off to the side and de-aligns. Now, normally, when it de-aligns, it doesn't de-align all at once. So it will say, oh, that's great equipment. Oh, it's great equipment. It's kind of a pain to get on that. Oh, it's great equipment. And then it'll just start doing this Jedi mind talk to you. You know, just keep flicking in these little comments here and there, little comments here and there. And before you know it, it's kind of talked you down to where you're not using the equipment 3 times a week anymore. You're using it 2 times a week, and then you're using it 1 time a week, and then you're using it for a clothes rack. Because what it's done is when it had the opportunity to get you to spend money on something, and it knew you were going to spend money on that, then it aligned to convince you that, oh yes, absolutely, that's exactly what you should be spending money on. And then as soon as you spent the money on it, then it turns around and talks you out of it, because then what it wants... Oh, wait, I'm not in the garage far enough. Then what it wants to do is every time you walk past that piece of equipment, it's going to go, I can't believe you spent all that money for that equipment. What kind of bozo are you? And then it's just going to criticize you for the fact that you've purchased this piece of equipment and you're not using it. But every time you think about using it, it's going to discourage you from using it. I mean, it's really insidious. The upside to all of this is that absolutely, at the end of the day, you have free will. And you get to decide whether you're going to listen to that or not. Sorry for the quick talk today. I have other things that I have to get onto. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.